There are a lot of mysteries surrounding angels, but Skip Heitzig says there are a few things that we do know about them.
You say, well, what do angels do in particular to serve God's people? Well, number one, they protect us. Not always. They don't always keep us from every bad little thing, but oftentimes angels protect. Daniel was in a lion's den, right? He got out the next morning, stretched, felt really good. And he said, oh, don't worry about it, King. The Lord sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Angels have been depicted a lot of different ways in our culture. They've been pictured as fat little babies that fire the arrows of love. They've been depicted as impressive, imposing-looking figures with swords. They've often been depicted with wings and halos. They've even been depicted as John Travolta. That's all fine and good, but if we really want to know what angels are like, there's only one way to turn. The Bible. And we'll do that here in just a moment on The Connection. But before Skip Heitzig gets us started, we'd like to tell you about his brand new book, released just this month.
It seems kind of strange to try and predict one's future with a piece of plastic filled with liquid and random dice that have various sayings written on them. Will I get rich and famous? Not likely. And yet every year, around 1 million magic 8-balls are sold. If you really want to know what the future holds, don't rely on a plastic toy. Just turn to the back of your Bible. In Skip Heitzig's new book, you can understand the book of Revelation. You'll discover keys to unlocking what the Bible's final book reveals about the future. Learn how to properly interpret the signs and symbols of Revelation and what many Christians miss when they study this book. Order You Can Understand the Book of Revelation on special this month for only $12 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Well, we sure hope you check out Skip's latest book and the rest of the resources available right now at connectionradio.org or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. So what does the Bible reveal to us about angels? And what does anything about the angelic realm have to do with the foundations of our faith? Well, that's what Skip is about to explore in today's study. So grab your Bibles and join us.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, and as we continue to explore the first two chapters, we'll join Skip Heitzig.
Do angels really sit up on a cloud all day, playing the harp, watching reruns of Touched by an Angel or whatever? No. They do four things principally, and I've summed them up for you. Number one, first and foremost, they stand in God's presence. That's what they do. Their main job is to hang out with God. Kind of a cool job, isn't it? And they spend a lot of their time standing before him and rendering him praise. Daniel chapter 7, he saw 10,000 times 10,000 standing before him. Revelation 4, the four living creatures, they do not rest day or night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth And such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. You've got millions of angels worshiping God and the Lamb, his son. That ought to, number one, humble us, and number two, encourage us. This is what I mean. It ought to humble us because it shows us that God in heaven will never be without worship even if we fail to worship him. If we stop worship, we just don't do it, there'll be multitudes of angelic beings who are. But it humbles us because if angels who know God much better than we do understand that worship is vital and important as an ongoing activity, what about us? And then it encourages us, not only humbles us. And this is what I mean by that. There's something here that I think is often overlooked. And that is this. The angels are not singing. They're not singing here. They're saying something, but it doesn't say they are singing anything. It says in verse 12, they are saying with a loud voice. Every Christmas season, I listen to that famous Christmas carol that I love as well. Hark, the herald angels sing. But you know what? I hate to tell you, it's not accurate. I don't want to mess with your Christmas, but if you want to be accurate, it would be, hark, the herald angels speak. Because in Bethlehem, when the multitude of the angelic host is there, it says they're praising God and saying, the Greek word lego, speaking, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Now, in Revelation 5, verse 8, we have the 24 elders, which are humans, and four living creatures, which are angels. They're singing, but the rest of the angelic host is not. So, listen carefully. If Job 38 speaks of angels, it means the angels sang before the fall, and they'll sing when the curse is removed. Until then, they don't sing. It's as if they are restrained while the earth is still under a curse. And one day we'll join them in an anthem, these four living creatures, and we'll sing. But until that time, there is no singing among the angels. Here's my point. You're not an angel. And you and I are given an incredible opportunity and mandate to sing praises to God. It says in Ephesians, sing, lift up your voices, sing a new song. We're not angels. We, rather, are redeemed ones, been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I have something to sing about. So, in a worship service, don't you dare just sit there and look around. But get involved and sing because you are redeemed ones and you've got a reason to do it. So, A, they stand in the presence of God. B, or number two, they share in God's work. That's part of their ministry. You might say they're God's helpers. They help them out. Because angels are a direct creation of God, they have incredible power God has invested in them. And it is used according to the will and purposes of God. They were there in creation. They were there at the giving of the law, the writer of Hebrews tells us. They gave and helped Daniel receive a revelation, John receive a revelation. They were involved in the life of Jesus Christ. They announced his birth. They attended his birth. They warned Joseph to leave Herod's domain and go down to Egypt, told him when they should go back. When Jesus was tempted out in the wilderness and in the Garden of Gethsemane later on, the angels came and ministered to him. And who was it that rolled the stone away? The angels did, and they sat on it. Hung out in the garden waiting for people to come. So they're very involved in the work of God upon the earth. Third, they send God's judgment. They send God's judgment. How powerful are angels? I'll give you an example. In the Old Testament, there's the story of Jerusalem being surrounded by the Assyrian army under Sennacherib. The Bible tells us that one angel went out and destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. One angel destroyed 180. You don't want to tick an angel off, okay? That's sort of a rule that we should just kind of get along with. One angel destroyed 185,000. Then we remember when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Two angels. That's all God needed to destroy the city. Two angels showed up. And they came into Lot's house. And you know what happened? The men of the city knocked on the door, right? Saying, send those men out. And by the way, every time you read about angels in the Bible, they appear in male form, never a female form. So they knock on the door. Send those guys out that we may have sexual relations with them. Now, this didn't like upset the angels. They could handle it, but it did bother them a little bit because they smote everybody with blindness and then destroyed the city. Two angels destroyed the city. One angel wiped out 185,000 Assyrians. This adds new light to what Jesus said to Peter. Put away your sword, Peter. Don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels? If I wanted to, I could snap my fingers and 72,000 angels would show up now. Now, imagine if they did. If one angel destroyed 185,000 Assyrians, can you imagine what 72,000 angels would do? Let's even project that into the future. In the tribulation period, who is it that will unfurl the judgments that are the seals on the scroll, the bowls that are poured out on the earth? It is the angels. And you might say the earth will be torched by an angel at that time. They will attend to and send the judgment of God upon the earth. Now, we're about to wrap up. Listen carefully. If you have never had an experience with an angel, and probably most of you don't know that you have, you will one day. Guaranteed. Either in heaven, surrounding the throne, worshiping with them. What a cool service that's going to be. Or you'll experience them in judgment. Because Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom all those that offend and who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So one day, everyone is going to have an angelic experience of some kind, either in heaven or in judgment. So what is their ministry? They stand in God's presence. They share God's work. They send God's judgment. And finally, and we close with this, they serve God's people. I left this for last because I wanted you to go away wondering and having the question answered, how do I relate to these beings? Angels are sent on your behalf. The last verse of Hebrews 1 said, angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who will inherit salvation. That's you and me. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around all those that fear him. You say, well, what do angels do in particular to serve God's people? Well, number one, they protect us. Not always. They don't always keep us from every bad little thing, but oftentimes angels protect. Daniel was in a lion's den, right? He got out the next morning, stretched, felt really good. And he said, oh, don't worry about it, king. The Lord sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. That would have been great to see. Paul was aboard a ship, a prison ship on the way to Rome. Everybody thought the storm was going to sink the ship. The next day, Paul got up and he said, hey, last night an angel came and appeared to me and said it's going to be all right. Protecting God's people. I think of the activities that I've been engaged in, whether it's snowboarding or surfing or riding Harley Davidsons, and I just can imagine I get on that motorcycle. I know my mom always worries. She says, don't tell me when you ride that thing. But I get on that thing, and I'm sure the angels sort of just get on the walkie-talkie. You know, get him. He's on the bike. Send out the angels. They protect us. So, protection. Number two, revelation. Revelation. The angels were there helping when God gave the law at Mount Sinai. So they helped the revelation. Angels appear in Daniel and the book of Revelation, helping these two fellas to understand. Oftentimes, John is interacting with the angel, trying to understand, what is this about? Now, that's for these two men in particular, no doubt. I don't think angels give me insight. I think the Holy Spirit does. But there's a great story, you know about it. An angel comes and tells Mary, you're pregnant. She goes, I don't understand. I haven't had any relationships with a man. I know, but the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and it's a virgin birth. But there's a person that needed a good explanation. What was his name? Joseph. Okay, she's supernaturally pregnant. Try to explain that to the fiancé. Wouldn't go over well with the guy. Yeah, right. And so God covers the bases and sends Gabriel, the special angel, to tell Joseph, don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, and explains what is going on, giving him revelation, helping him to understand. Number three, supplication. Do you know that angels are sent when you pray? Daniel prayed, and immediately Michael was dispatched. It says in Daniel chapter 10, and he says, I have come to give you understanding for the future. Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Acts 12, and we're going to close with this tonight. This is our last text. It just takes a moment. About that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also, and it was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When he had arrested him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him out before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but, notice this, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The battle line was drawn. Satan wanted him killed, God wanted him alive. The church is in the middle. They're praying for him. The story gets good. When Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. Now that's interesting. You're going to die the next day and you're getting a good night's sleep. There's a good reason for that. I don't have time to tell you though. He was bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone around him in the prison. He struck Peter on the side and raised him up. So the guy was sawing logs. The angel had to nudge him. Arise quickly, and the chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said to him, gird yourself, tie on your sandals. So he did, and he said, put on your garments and follow me. When he had followed, he went out. He did not know what was done by the angel, that it was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and he went out. Went down one street, immediately the angel departed from. Okay, he comes to. He figures, wow, that was an angel. That was amazing. He goes to the very prayer meeting where they're praying for him to get out of prison. Verse 13, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness. She did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they, these are the people with great faith now praying, you're nuts. Yet she kept on insisting that it was so. And so they said, it is his angel. So Peter kept knocking. You know, they left him out there. Now, I imagine maybe they were praying something like, Lord, you can do anything. Why, one angel could kill 185,000 Assyrians. And you could send an angel to Sodom. And Lord, send an angel to deliver him. I'm here. Oh, you're nuts. It can't be him. Isn't it interesting? An angel gets him out of prison. Peter can't even get into a prayer meeting. Finally, angels attend us when we die. There's several examples of this. The most notable is the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus told the story. He said the rich man died and was buried. But with the poor man, the angels took him and brought him to Abraham's bosom. One guy dies utterly alone and is buried. The other one is surrounded with his heavenly buddies, angels who escort his soul into the very presence of God. And you know, Daniel called angels watchers. You know, they're like heavenly surveillance spies. That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Somebody once said that secret sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. They see it all. And I am sure that as they watch, they look at some of our activities and our lack of faith and stuff that we do, and they go, I don't get it. God came to this planet and redeemed them. And look at their response. J.B. Phillips told the story of an angel who was being shown the universe for the first time by an older angel. And they're going out through all the galaxies. And the senior angel points to a small sphere turning slowly on its axis. It looked as dull as a dirty tennis ball to the little angel, whose mind was filled with the size and glory of what he had just seen. Watch that one particularly, said the senior angel, pointing with his finger. It looks very small to me, said the little angel. What's special about it? He listened in stunned disbelief as the senior angel told him that this planet, small and insignificant and not overly clean, was the renowned visited planet. Do you mean that our glorious prince stooped so low as to become one of those creeping, crawling creatures on that floating ball? I do. And I don't think he would like you to call them creeping, crawling creatures. For strange as it may seem to us, he loves them. He went down to visit them, to lift them up to become like him. The little angel looked blank. Such a thought was almost beyond his comprehension. And isn't it beyond ours?
Well, the love and grace of God may be beyond our comprehension, but it certainly isn't beyond our reach. In fact, it's available for all who would accept it. And if you're someone who hasn't done that yet, you can change that right now. We'd love to explain to you how that incomprehensible grace of God can relieve you of your burden of sin, and how it can bring peace and joy into your life. Just give us a call, and we'll tell you all about it. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Or click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. And so our time together draws to a close. But before we leave you today, we'd like to take you in studio with Skip and Lenya Heitzik and more on the subject of angels. Lenya?
Do you remember when angels were all the rage? Maybe a decade ago, they were everywhere. You couldn't go in a shop without seeing one. And there were pictures and TV shows.
Figurines.
Yes.
Collectibles.
Pins. So that's what we were talking about today in the lesson. And more so now than angels, it seems that society is kind of caught up in vampires. Mm-hmm. With Twilight and True Blood and all these vampire TV shows,
Dark Angels, movies. Bad Angels, the other side.
Right. Why do you think there's been a shift of interest in these supernatural creatures from angels to the dark side, if you will?
I think a few things. Number one, I think there's a suspicion that maybe there is a world outside of that is something that is tangible and physical, my world, that there really is a reality that goes beyond just what I see and just what I experience. The Bible reveals that there is. A lot of people grew up with that. They abandon it, but there's this suspicion. Then number two, I think that there's a desire for power that people have, because if you look at the power that some of these beings portrayed, good or bad angels have, there's, when you're young, a real desire to experience that kind of power. That's what got me involved in the occult. That's why I started going into spirit writing. And a lot of that experimental stuff was to heighten my sense of reality and power.
What's a balanced approach? I think mothers are the ones that have to approach this. Their kids want to read it like they did Harry Potter or some of the other things. If a housewife was wondering about these Twilight things, what would you recommend?
I had an open discussion. You know, Josh McDowell taught me this years ago when his kids were growing up and they had questions about sex or demonology, whatever, he would stop and address it and talk about it and get it out in the open. He would never like wince or be afraid to have his kids inquire. He wanted the questions to come because he wanted the opportunity to answer.
Beautiful.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And of course, if you want a copy of today's teaching on angels, it's available for just $6. That includes shipping. And anything you share above that donation will help us continue to bring you these daily studies. Just call 1-800-922-1888 to place your order. Or you can get a copy online at connectionradio.org. Or if you prefer, you can always write The Connection at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
On our next broadcast, we'll explore the plan God has for your life and how you can discover what that is in our series, Rediscovering Our Foundations, here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.